Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by The Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy welcomes Walter Isaacson, author of the acclaimed bestsellers Steve Jobs, Einstein, and Benjamin Franklin. Now Isaacson brings to life history's most creative genius, Leonardo da Vinci, in an exciting new biography based on da Vinci's astonishing notebooks and new discoveries about his life and work. Hosted by the Church of the Redeemer at 5603 North Charles Street on Saturday, October 21st. Doors open at 7 p.m. with the program beginning at 7:30. More at theivybookshop.com or call 410-377-2966.
Hello again from the Baltimore Sun. I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Roughly Speaking, episode 310, for Tuesday, October 17th, 2017. Today, a look at the Trump administration's efforts to sabotage the Affordable Care Act with Maryland's Attorney General Brian Frosch, Jonathan Weiner, professor in health policy at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and Jay Hancock, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, who, until 2012, wrote an excellent column on business for the Baltimore Sun. Jay Hancock and Jonathan Weiner have been my go-to experts on health insurance and health care policy since early in the Obama administration, when Congress first took up expanding health insurance to the nation's 50 million uninsured. The ACA is credited with bringing down that number by some 20 million since the law took effect. Here in Maryland, the state's health insurance exchange last year enrolled more than 140,000 people in private plans and about 280,000 in the expanded Medicaid program. Last week, of course, Donald Trump determined to erase President Obama's signature domestic achievement, signed an order stopping federal subsidies to insurance companies that helped them lower the cost of deductibles for their lower-income customers, a move that Brian Frosch calls perverse, an action that has created havoc in the states where people are preparing again for the annual enrollment period for health insurance. Trump has been threatening this action since he announced his run for the White House.
This executive order could end up creating the implosion that Trump previously hinted at.
Obamacare is in a total death spiral.
Let Obamacare fail. It'll be a lot easier.
I said from the beginning, let Obamacare implode.
And we have breaking news on this. Politico is now reporting, quote, President Trump plans to cut off critical subsidy payments to insurers selling Obamacare coverage. The decision to end the payments, worth an estimated $7 billion this year, marks Trump's most aggressive move yet to dismantle Obamacare after months of failed GOP repeal efforts on Capitol Hill.
So rather than fix the ACA after being unable to have it repealed in Congress, Trump is determined to do everything possible to disrupt it. That's not what Americans want, according to most polls. The latest one from the Kaiser Family Foundation. The Kaiser poll found 66% of Americans think Trump should do everything possible to stabilize the ACA insurance marketplace, not disrupt it. Only 21% of adults agreed that Trump should let the law fail in an attempt to repeal and replace Obamacare. The Sun's Meredith Cohn reports today that Maryland regulators now are deciding whether to allow insurance companies a hefty, last-minute increase in the rates they charge consumers for plans. Okay, Brian Frosch and Jay Hancock will be joining us in a few minutes. We start the show with Jonathan Weiner, professor in health policy at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Jonathan, why don't we start by just reviewing what the president did? He did a couple of things. In my introduction to the show, I mentioned his cutting of the subsidies, but there was something else he did last week.
Sure. Well, he's been doing dozens of things, but last Thursday, I believe it was, he took two executive actions that were probably the biggest bombshells, hand grenades, people have called them, to try to sabotage the ACA. The most important is probably the taking away of subsidies. Sometimes called cost-sharing subsidies that helped ACA insurance plans cover the upfront costs, that is the cost-sharing, the co-pays of people below the poverty level. So I don't mean the poverty level, below a certain income level. So in other words, people that are below 250% of what's called the poverty level, which could be about $30,000 for an individual or $50,000 for a family, they didn't have to pay like the $5,000 out of pocket. And that's what the president took away. Now, in addition, there was a whole slew, a package of other sort of Republican policies that have been floating around for probably decades. The largest was called the so-called association health plans, that any loose association of companies or organizations could say, hey, let's go get health insurance together. And by doing that, they could skirt many of the ACA regulations. So those are two very big things that were done last week.
Also, wasn't the president offering a bare bones insurance policies that you could buy on a 90-day basis or something?
Well, that's true. In addition to the, there were actually three or four things that were part of the so-called association health plan. One was a short-term plan, he called it. By the way, the association health plans in general were barer bones than the ones in the marketplace, the ACA, to skirt regulations on sort of full coverage. But in addition, there's another loophole that people could buy policies that were just for short-term, therefore they didn't need to fill all the requirements. There also was another piece of that executive order related to health savings accounts. That one wasn't quite as controversial, but that too potentially skirted some regulations. So a lot of things happened in the last week.
So what are we trying to accomplish here? The president is trying to undermine the Affordable Care Act because he couldn't get it repealed in Congress. That's what it looks like.
It definitely looks like that, and most people agree that. However, some also say that, you know, since Congress has not been known for its action over the last year or two on health care or anything for that matter, of course, the repeal and replace failed, 30 times for the Republicans alone when they weren't serious, and it failed 3, 4, 5 times when they were serious under President Trump. So many believe that he's doing this to force the Democrats and Republicans to fix it on their own. I actually think that is potentially the silver lining. I'm not overly optimistic, but I think there are some possibilities that the Democrats and Republicans will get together to avoid this super mess that otherwise the president would have created.
Well, his timing is perfect if he was looking to undermine the whole thing. We're heading into an enrollment period here, and this creates confusion among people.
It's exactly the worst time, which some believe, it's not accidental, no question about that, but some believe he did that to really force Congress to get together. Others believe he just wanted to make sure the hand grenade had the maximum impact in hurting Obamacare. I think it's probably a combination of the both, but I'd like to think that something positive could come out of this, but we'll have to see.
There have been a couple of headlines in conservative-leaning media organizations, National Review for one, Trump ends illegal subsidies to insurance companies. So I wanted to go over this a little bit with you. This was a thing the Obama administration came up with, a way of subsidizing or cost-sharing with insurance companies that wasn't really funded by Congress. It was authorized by the Affordable Care Act, but not funded by Congress. Is that right?
That is right, and there is a semblance of truth. But lately, as you've seen in the president's, current president's executive orders, the sort of lack of cooperation between the executive and legislative branch, any president that wants to accomplish things has to use workarounds. So, in fact, a variety of courts supported the president's use of sort of a workaround that led us to these current subsidies, but one or two courts has not supported it. So there is some semblance to truth. President Obama did actually want the Congress to approve it, and they were on the direction of doing it, and most people believe it's a righteous type of subsidy. In fact, some analysts suggest that without this subsidy, the cost to taxpayers will be higher, not lower, for a variety of economic reasons. But yes, it is correct that President Obama did a workaround. Boy, this is complicated. Mm-hmm. And what we're discussing here is really just the surface of it.
Yeah, but it seems like an essential part of the Affordable Care Act, subsidies to insurance companies to lower deductibles for people within a certain income bracket. That seems like a fundamental to me. I'm a little surprised the money wasn't there.
It certainly does. There are other subsidies, and it's very complicated. In fact, most lower-income people don't pay any copays at all. We forget that. They're in private health insurance plans that are actually part of the Medicaid program, and they are fully subsidized. This is just for the somewhat higher income but still not wealthy people that aren't in Medicaid. And again, when we think Medicaid, we think government programs, but that's not so. It's the same health insurance plans, but they have a Medicaid seal on their insurance card. So yes, there are subsidies, but there weren't enough. So President Obama's people added this in. Again, it's a real complex, overly complex fix.
You know, I hope you're right about the silver lining that this would force Democrats and Republicans to work something out. But, you know, those Republicans had voted, I think it was 60 times or more for repeal. Representative Andy Harris, the only Republican in the Maryland delegation, saying, I'm glad the president did this. These were illegal payments, unconstitutional payments being made to insurance companies. I mean, I can't see him coming around. I don't know what Republicans want. This was all a Democratic idea starting in the Obama administration. We're going back to Teddy Kennedy if you want to. So I'm not sure this idea of them now working together to save this is possible. But
well, the Andy Harris thing's always confused me. He's a decent guy and a doctor to boot, so I'm not sure what he wants. But yeah. I think a lot of it is just the knee-jerk reaction to anything government helping people is not the way to go. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's unfortunate that it's a crisis, but somehow that's what it takes. I think certainly the Democrats and a half a dozen Republicans, are behind putting the subsidies back in. So, obviously I'm not going to say it's certain, but there's some chance that they'll get together to fix this. But, over the long haul, it's pretty sad. As you and I have discussed, Obamacare, with all its imperfections, is basically a moderate Republican proposal that a variety of Republicans have proposed, and is the best thing that happened to U.S. healthcare since Medicare and Medicaid. It has a lot of problems. Let's fix them.
It is market based, and it occurred to me this morning that here's Donald Trump, the businessman who wants to cut taxes on corporations, cutting subsidies to insurance companies. That seems anti-Republican to me.
Well, and ironically, before he was president, and no one thought he would be president, he was actually one of the most supportive of Obamacare of any of the then Republican candidates. So it's really a political mess. And the pawns in all this, of course, are the half of the 20 million people who were helped by Obamacare. 21 million and a little less than half of them are in these plans that we're talking about now.
What is your advice to people looking at the November 1st date and getting notices from their insurance company that it's time to re-enroll or think about it, go to the exchange? What is your advice to them?
I don't know. It's obviously everyone needs health insurance. It was expensive before Obamacare. It'll be expensive after Obamacare if it were to disappear. So that's part of it. I would think first of all, we're also lucky that in Maryland we have a governor who gets it and a legislature who gets it, and we're a relatively wealthy state. So, I think the state will do everything it can. Many attorney generals are immediately suing the federal government. So I think they just should, keep their nose to the grindstone, do what they can to try to sign up. By the way, the subsidies will likely continue. I'm speaking slowly because I'm not sure. Although the health plans will not be paid by the federal government, they will, unless they drop out of the exchange, they will continue the subsidies, but then they will increase rates moving forward.
Right.
Some even say they'll have the right to increase rates in the middle. But I would recommend that people still sign up. I think there's a lot of people working to try to help them and protect them. Ironically, many believe that all of this will push more people into Medicaid. Certainly, if you go to the Maryland Healthcare Exchange and your income is such that you're allowed to get a private health insurance plan through Medicaid, do it. Don't be afraid of that label, because then you'll have for sure full subsidy. But people will just have to do the best they can to move forward.
Jonathan, thanks again for your time.
You're welcome, and thanks for covering this story. It's really important to a lot of people. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jonathan Weiner is a professor in health policy at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. A short break on Roughly Speaking, and then we'll hear from Jay Hancock of Kaiser Health News and Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch.
Hi, I'm Quinn Kelly, and I host a weekly podcast for the Baltimore Sun called Female Trouble. Each Tuesday, we feature a new long-form conversation with one of the area's most interesting and accomplished women, from public officials and congresswomen to rappers and restaurant owners. You can find Female Trouble on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Find more info at baltimoresun.com/femaletrouble.
The latest Female Trouble episode is about art and activism. Quinn Kelly speaks with Ducky Dynamo Buster, Baltimore DJ and organizer for the Green Party here. Make sure to check it out. Now back to Trump's sabotage of the Affordable Care Act. Joining me now is Jay Hancock, senior correspondent with Kaiser Health News. Hey, Jay, nice to hear from you. Thanks for joining us today.
Nice to be here, Dan.
I was looking at the poll that came out of the Kaiser Family Foundation, separate from Kaiser Health News, that showed that most Americans, like other polls, most Americans want to see the Affordable Care Act fixed. They don't want to see the health insurance marketplace destabilized. They want to see it stabilized. They'd like to see Congress working together to fix it rather than scrapping it. So we've seen all that in other polls. But this was a pretty significant amount. It was like 66% of people said they wanted to see it fixed. 71% said they wanted to see Trump do something other than try to destabilize the Affordable Care Act. But that's what we're getting from Donald Trump. Destabilization and chaos going into the enrollment period for the 2017-18 year.
Yeah, it's pretty chaotic. And one of the interesting things is that there's kind of, if you were to poll Congress and they were to be honest about it, they might agree with that Kaiser poll. I mean, there's bipartisan agreement in Congress that at least the more dysfunctional parts of the ACA should be fixed, and Republicans are actually politically vulnerable, maybe more politically vulnerable to the problems that are going to crop up as a result of what Trump is doing than Democrats. You said destabilization. That's it. It could not have come at a worse time. We can talk about what it means for consumers, but for insurers, they're just nuts about it. And you heard that from Chet Burrell, the CEO of CareFirst Blue Cross of Maryland. They're getting ready for open enrollment. It's going to start in a few days. And suddenly you hear that all this money you thought was going to get from the federal government isn't going to happen.
I don't know what to say, because I look at Trump very cynically. I think he just thinks he has to erase Barack Obama. So I start there. See, now you and I can talk about the nuts and bolts of the impact of all of this, but I start at a place where I'm just very suspicious of why he's doing this. Now, Jonathan Weiner proffered the idea that maybe he's doing it to force Democrats and Republicans to work something out in Congress. That's the silver lining that he offers. Do you see such a silver lining, even a sliver of a silver lining?
Well, I think it might happen, but if Congress does get together, what they're likely to address will only be around the edges and only fixing the most frayed parts of the ACA. And from what I've seen of the Trump administration, it's hard for me to even credit that amount of tactical thinking and foresight. To me, it looks like spite. It looks like flashing out against something that's associated with Obama.
Yeah, it looks visceral to me. And to see the photograph the other day, or actually the video the other day of Trump signing this executive order, and people, including Rand Paul, standing around him, kind of glowing, smiling, laughing. I don't get it. What are we after here?
Yeah, well, one thing people should understand is that this won't affect people buying these plans at all, unless they don't qualify for the subsidies. The plans are still on the hook to pass to help lower-income folks out with their deductibles and copays, which is what the subsidies are. It's just the insurance companies won't get the money. I don't know, Dan. It's hard to find any philosophical consistency in what the Trump administration is doing. It seems based on what the president's thinking from day to day, and what's likely to get him applause lines in certain circles.
Yeah. But think of the impact in the business community, in the insurance community. And as we're going into the enrollment period, there might be people who think, well, Trump blew up Obamacare. There's no policy for me anymore. It's going to be unaffordable.
Well, it is likely to depress the enrollment. Andy Ratner, the spokesman for the Maryland Health Connection, was quoted in the Sun as saying they're hoping to keep enrollment robust this year, but it's going to be hard. You've got all these headlines saying that Obamacare is blowing up. It's super complicated, really hard to understand, and people may just stay away. Here's the most perverse thing, though, for Trump and other Republicans in what's going on. So there's two subsidies in the ACA. One comes in the tax credits that you get when you pay your premium up front to buy the plan. The other thing is the thing that they're whacking now, which is these cost-sharing subsidies, which go to lower-income folks to lower their deductibles and their copays. So one slice of the money that insurance companies expected to get is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Billions of dollars. What are they going to do to make up for that? You know, they're not going to go bankrupt. What do they have to do? They have to raise their premiums. They have to raise their prices. And right now, insurance companies are talking to Al Redmer, the Maryland Insurance Commissioner, about doing that. You know, they've already raised them a ton. Now they're talking about raising them 15 or 20% more to get back the money that that's not coming in these cost-sharing subsidies. There are two dumb things about that. Here's one, is that the federal government also helps pay for premiums, and the Congressional Budget Office has calculated that the amount of money that it's going to cost the government by getting rid of these subsidies is much more than the subsidies would have cost in the first place. So that's not very Republican or fiscally responsible. Here's the other thing that could come back to bite them. The insurance company is going to raise these premiums, and for a lot of people, it won't be a big deal because, like I said, they get the federal tax credits to pay the premiums, and what they pay is based on a percentage of their income. So if the premiums go up, they're held harmless. Mm-hmm. If you get the tax credits, the federal government will absorb the premium increase. But there's lots and lots of people, particularly in Maryland, who don't qualify for the tax credits. They make more than, say, $65,000 a year for a family of two. And a lot of these folks are Trump voters. A lot of these folks are Republicans. You're talking about farmers. You're talking about real estate agents. You're talking about independent contractors who make too much to qualify for the Obamacare subsidies, and yet are seeing their premiums go up by 20, 30, 40, or 50% based partly on what the Trump White House and the Trump HHS is doing.
Right.
Those folks are not going to be happy. It's a very undercovered story. People are really, really being hurt by this. And it's possible that in states besides Maryland, it's going to come back and hurt Republicans.
I wonder if it could by 2018. I think looking at this politically, just for a moment, it would depend on messaging by the Democrats to say, yeah, Obamacare had problems, but this made it far worse. So if you think your premiums are going to go up under Obamacare, they're going up even further because of what President Trump has done.
Yeah, and again, it all comes down to who owns the product. Trump evidently seems to think he can do this and escape blame for it and continue to blame Obamacare's initial imperfections. You know, the Republicans have worked you know, it's almost fair to say tirelessly, to undermine the Affordable Care Act, to undermine these Obamacare markets, which are for people who buy individual insurance. And they seem to think that their fingerprints aren't going to be found on it yet. What Trump has done now is getting lots of headlines. It's going to get some substantial premium increases in states like Maryland, where insurers didn't already build this possibility in. And the political tale will be told according to who gets blamed for it. Up until now, the Republicans have, you know, people don't pay attention to this. They've been able to portray Obamacare as flawed and what's going on, a lot of which they have caused, as the fault of the product. It may be hard to escape blame this time.
Jay, one last thing. If the premiums are approved to rise again in some of these states, including in Maryland, and rates continue to go up and enrollment goes down, we're going to see more insurers leave the marketplaces?
It's possible. I mean, you've already had attrition in Maryland. The danger is that you'll have, and this has already started to happen in some of the markets, you'll have fewer and fewer younger, healthier people coming in to buy these plans because you're healthy. You decide you don't need health insurance, the penalty for not having coverage notwithstanding. And so the people who does need health insurance, people who are sick, you know, they're motivated to have it. They're the ones who stay in the market. And so the average costs per member keep going up, and the cost to have the product keeps going up. And you get this, the actuaries call it a death spiral, where it just becomes unsustainable. It's hard for me to imagine CareFirst exiting this market. They are by far the biggest insurer for this individual insurance. But on the other hand, they aren't being shy about raising their rates to pay for it when they get adverse cost trends in their risk pool.
It'd be nice to have a president and a Congress willing to fix it rather than blow it all up.
There's a lot of people in Congress that want to do that. There are Republicans that want to fix it. They could do it in a day. It wouldn't, it would not take. This is not complex legislation. You'll recall that the reason the cost sharing reduction subsidies were in play in the first place is because Congress forgot to appropriate the money for them. They're in the Affordable Care Act law. But the money, making the money available to pay for them, never was there. And so all they need to do is appropriate the money, and it's done. It's unlikely to happen in a clean fashion. There's likely to be bargaining. If Republicans go along with fixing it, they're going to want givebacks from the Democrats. And so we'll see. Meanwhile, as the Sun has been reporting, there are likely to be lawsuits both from the insurance companies and from the attorneys general seeking to counter this, and very probably seeking a temporary restraining order to enjoin the implementation of Trump's order last week suspending these subsidies.
Jay, thanks again. Always nice to catch up with you and get informed. Thank you very much.
You bet, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Jay Hancock, formerly a business columnist here at The Sun, is senior correspondent at Kaiser Health News. You can find links to Jay's reporting for Kaiser in the notes with this podcast. And now to Brian Frosch, Maryland's attorney general. He wrote an op-ed under the headline, "Trump Has Shattered Health Security." As Maryland's attorney general, I am filing suit against the president's cruel Obamacare rollbacks. That op-ed appears today online at U.S. News and World Report. Here's Brian Frosch. I just finished reading your op-ed in U.S. News today. You call the president's action on subsidies to health insurance companies, or cutting them, you call this action perverse.
It is. I mean, there are so many things wrong with it, it's hard to know where to start. I mean, first of all, cutting these subsidies will cost the government money. It'll cost more than paying the subsidies. So the federal government will lose close to $200 billion over the next decade.
How do we lose money by cutting subsidies?
Because people get a tax credit. Some people get a tax credit for purchasing health insurance. And the tax credit goes up as the subsidy goes down. And the Congressional Budget Office projects that it will cost $200 billion more. So, you know, there's no economic justification for this. And it's cruel. I mean, you're literally talking about killing people. There are people who are not going to get the health care they need because the president is going to cut off their subsidy.
So you anticipate that some people will just, be priced out? Premiums will go up? They won't be able to afford it?
Yeah, premiums will go up. Again, the Congressional Budget Office projects that overall premiums will go up 20% because of this. And that's going to cause a lot of people to decide not to buy insurance or to buy policies, which the president is going to allow, buy policies that don't give them full coverage. So they'll go in and they'll find out, this procedure isn't covered. They won't get it. They will have minimum amounts they have to pay, $10,000, $5,000, before they start getting their medical procedures covered. That's a disincentive to receiving essential care. And, people just won't be able to afford the medical insurance and the treatment they need.
What can attorneys general do about this?
There are a number of attorneys general who joined in a lawsuit that asks the court to force the president to reinstate the subsidies.
And how can we do that when there's a legal issue here already in play that Congress didn't authorize these funds to begin with?
Well, that's the administration's argument, but in fact, it's very clear that Congress did. The Trump administration says you can't make us do it. It's been done for the past several years. It's been challenged before. The challenges have not been successful. The cost share reductions have been paid. And we believe the court is going to insist that this is constitutional, it's legal, and that Trump needs to pay the subsidies. But in the meantime, he's totally disrupted the insurance markets. In Maryland, I think CareFirst got a 35% increase in the latest round of insurance premiums. The reason that it was as high as it was, in part, was because Trump was threatening to do this. Insurance companies hate uncertainty.
Right.
And he has filled the world with uncertainty, and we're suffering from it already. It's going to have an additional impact, at least for the next year, and possibly longer. So he's driven up the cost of health insurance for every single American.
What do you say to people who are in this bracket? This we're not talking about low income people here who can qualify for insurance under the Medicaid expansion, but this is a
right.
slightly higher bracket. It's still lower income.
Right.
It's a certain percentage of the poverty level set by the federal government for people
Correct.
Who are qualified for these subsidies. What do you say to them now if November 1st is coming up? This is the enrollment period. The Maryland Health Exchange will be open, I guess.
Yeah.
What's your advice to them?
I mean, every family needs health insurance. Every family needs medical care. And the most efficient way of obtaining that medical care is not paying out of pocket every time you need it, but buying insurance against the hopefully remote eventuality that somebody in that family will suffer a serious illness or have a serious injury. And so, I mean, I hope people will continue to buy health insurance, provide for their families. But I got to say, Dan, I know there are going to be some people who just can't afford it, won't be able to pay the rent and pay the health insurance, and they'll choose to bail. And it's scary. I mean, there will be people who die because of this.
What is this all about, Brian Frosch? I mean, trying to figure out Donald Trump, I know, is difficult, but I mean, I've concluded that this is just a sort of visceral, emotional, almost personal thing on his part. He greatly dislikes President Obama. He claimed he wasn't even an American. And here, all these years later, he's trying to erase his signature domestic achievement.
It's so irrational that it looks personal. It looks vindictive. And unfortunately, it's not President Obama who's going to suffer. It's millions of Americans, hundreds of thousands of Marylanders. And it's just petty. It looks personal, and it's stupid.
Thank you for your time, Attorney General Brian Frosch.
Great to be with you, Dan.
Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch announced that the state was joining 17 others and the District of Columbia in a class action lawsuit against the Trump administration. You can find a link to his op-ed in U.S. News in the notes with this episode of Roughly Speaking. And that's our show for now. For producers Steve Early, Quinn Kelly, and Christina Tasek, this is Dan Rodericks here at The Sun. Thanks for listening to Roughly Speaking. Please review us on iTunes if you get a chance, and we'll see you again soon.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at 6080 Falls Road, located at the intersection of Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. More information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.